And now we'll pivot a little bit to financial and film sustainability with Ann Reed, who joins us in studio, the executive director of Milwaukee Film. Thanks for taking time this morning, Ann. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So Milwaukee Film on Friday announced kind of a refocus of its organizational mission and lens, if you will, kind of moving on from some of your education programs and artist services to better align, I'm guessing, with kind of the core mission of what Milwaukee Film is all about. But talk us through some of those moves and what they involve budgetary-wise.
Sure. It's really a return to our roots, right? We were founded as the Milwaukee Film Festival 16 years ago. In 2018, when we started operating the Oriental Theater, historic, iconic theater, that brought us into year-round, what you might call art house programming, really varied programming with foreign films and older films and new films. As we grew into other things, some wonderful education programs and programs to support local artists. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing now is really going back to that original core. What can we do that no one else does? Art house programming and the Milwaukee Film Festival.
So what were some of the factors as the board and yourself? Now, you've been in the role for
7 months.
7 months. All right. Yeah. But obviously extensive nonprofit and professional experience coming into a new organization. You probably brought a little different lens to, hey, organizationally, how can we continue to move the organization forward? So what were some of the factors that the board looked at in terms of kind of getting you back to, hey, we need to focus on what we do and do well? And that may mean some short-term financial challenges.
Sure, absolutely. Really, every organization, maybe even every person, yes, should regularly be thinking about what is the thing that only we can do, that if we weren't doing it, it wouldn't be here, and that would be an important loss. For us, that answer was absolutely clear. The Milwaukee Film Festival is a true treasure already in this community, and ongoing art house programming is a treasure to everybody who experiences it every day. So we focused on that in the same way. I don't know if you remember, in June, Alverno College announced that they were saying, what can only we do to prepare women for engaged lives? Mm-hmm. The answer was, what they're uniquely reputed for is nursing, education, their business work. And they actually cut their English and history majors. Hmm. Why? They were great.
Yeah.
But it was that other people are offering that. Alverno was uniquely offering what it is offering to women. That's essentially what we did.
Yeah. And you see that oftentimes in a lot of organizations, you're locked in on what you do, but then you're like, ooh, this revenue road looks really nice. How about this opportunity? How about that opportunity? And suddenly you have seven different business entities under this one umbrella, and it's just not sustainable moving forward. So you have to readdress and reorganize.
I think we're at a time in our country where every organization, maybe you haven't seen it yet, maybe you have, but every organization should be and is thinking in this way.
So moving forward, what are the metrics that you and the board will look at to kind of gauge success?
Well, now that we are completely focused on the festival and our year-round programming, the metrics are pretty simple. How many people are coming? Are they having a good time? How are we measuring whether they're having a good time? What kind of offerings can we bring? How many filmmakers did we bring to the festival last year versus this year? Those kinds of things. Because we have such a pure focus, the metrics become self-revealing.
Mm-hmm. Ann Reed from the Milwaukee Film Festival, Milwaukee Film Executive Director, joins us this morning. When we come back, is the inaugural Dialogues Documentary Festival still on the docket? And I want to talk through the financial dynamics of how the organization works with the Downer and Oriental Theaters and what that means for the future of Milwaukee Film. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Ann Reed from Milwaukee Film joins us this morning. It's the organization that runs the Milwaukee Film Festival and the historic Oriental and Downer Theaters on Milwaukee's East Side. So, Ann, talk to us about the business relationship with the Oriental and the Downer. I think, you know, some people may think, oh, well, they went and bought these two theaters. That's millions and millions of dollars. Of course they need to realign their finances. But what's the relationship with those theaters from the organization's standpoint?
Sure, and that's not the story at all. First of all, people ask me all the time, so let me get this out. Okay. Yes, the Downer is open and running. You can go see a movie there tonight. Secondly, there are actually two very different arrangements. Both of them are centered around this idea of what can only we do. These are two historic theaters. One actually did close. One was in danger of closing.
Right.
Who can save theaters like that? A nonprofit organization that has contributed revenue as well as earned revenue. So it's a key part of our mission that those theaters are open. Now, to the business relationship, they're quite different. The Oriental is they are both leased. We rent both of them. The Oriental is a long-term relationship with the owners of that building and a wonderful relationship. Mm-hmm. So grateful to them. So that will be ongoing in that way. The Downer is a 5-year lease with an option to purchase, and we're talking to people about possibly being part of a campaign to be able to exercise that option and own the space.
So as you continue to talk to donors and sponsors, one of those things is, hey, in looking forward, we'd like to find a way to purchase the Downer Theater.
And we know there are people who care deeply that the Downer stays open, and we hope we connect with them.
Yeah. From a programming standpoint for both of those entities, how do you think you'll continue to evolve the programming? I noticed you added Oppenheimer and Barbie, kind of going back to last summer, but two huge films that are still drawing big audiences. How do you look at the programming for both of those sites?
Sure. So our overall mission is we are what's called an art house cinema. Yes, the movies you can see anywhere, you can see with us, and we hope you do. But also, last weekend we had Seven Samurai. We had a Hitchcock Festival. You can see things that are different that you wouldn't be able to see anywhere else. It's actually fun to explore what works well at the Downer versus the Oriental. Hmm. They're only 6 blocks apart, but the neighborhoods are quite different.
Oh, interesting.
And so that's been fun. And then as we really step into pure film, but we still care so much about kids, we really want to think about how to deepen the ways that kids can experience film at our theaters.
Yeah, as a parent of a 12-year-old, and just see how she dives into film or doesn't dive into film. You know, many times it's just the big releases. That's what they're looking at. But you have to have really quality programming that, you know, kind of speaks to their hearts and minds. And like, hey, you're going to come, you're going to be educated, but you're also going to be in this beautiful space. And I guess that's a differentiator for you too at both of these buildings.
The Downer is the oldest theater in Wisconsin, and the Oriental is probably the most beautiful. It is a true privilege to be in those spaces.
All right. So what has been the reaction to stakeholders and your board with the recent announcement of some of the cuts and just moving forward and what you want to do as an organization?
You know, yesterday I was walking my little dog, Sam, and a neighbor who I don't know all that well stopped me and said, I want to thank you for making the tough decisions. And I said, thank you, even though obviously it wasn't just me. People that we have been reaching out to people continuously since the announcement on Friday, and people say, I'm on a board where we're going through that same kind of analysis. I'm glad to hear this because the festival needs to continue, and I want to see you doing what's necessary for that. The level of support and understanding has been wonderful.
Good, good. Ann Reid, the executive director of Milwaukee Film, joins us. When we come back, we'll get a little bit of insight into the 17th annual Milwaukee Film Festival in 2025. That begins April 24th. Seems like a long way away, but it's not. Time goes oh so very quickly. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Happy Monday. The Upswing Coffee Index, something we promise to bring you a couple times a week. This morning, I stopped at a place that I usually don't. $2.75 plus tax for a 16-ounce coffee at City Market on Capitol Drive, right in beautiful Shorewood. So I got to $2.92 for my 16-ounce coffee. The Valentine coffee there, which is one of my favorite. Producer Jaslyn, 12-ounce. I love the diversity of spots we're going to. They stopped at Full of Beans Cafe on South 2nd Street in Pittsburgh. But 12 ounces, Jazz? $2.97?
Hey, it's on the way here. I like it.
Okay, it's all about convenience. I'm going to give you that. It is all about convenience. Convenience drives everything. We'll keep an eye on that for you. Also, I got to mention this. A neighbor brought over some mushroom coffee over the weekend. So later in the week, I'll tell you all about mushroom coffee and the costs around mushroom coffee and some of the benefits, too, because it's really good stuff. A little lower caffeine, but maybe a little higher price, but I might have to add it to my routine. Ann Reed continues to join us from Milwaukee Film. We appreciate her time. So, and looking big picture at Milwaukee Film and also the industry as a whole, I love every weekend when the box office receipts come out. Everyone gets all excited. Oh, we did this, we did that. But I truly feel like the industry, I don't want to say it isn't coming back, but it has shifted so much. So how do you account for that and kind of form your own future moving forward?
Sure. Remember, I'm new to the industry still.
Yes.
And therefore find it fascinating. Obviously, the big trends that everybody knows about are that streaming has affected the way people consume film. Mm-hmm. And I have a theory that really streaming plus COVID and everybody being home all the time really taught people to seek things out from home that they previously went out for, but they still come out to film. They still want to come together. To me, what is most striking, as I see how it affects us, is not so much an overall trend, but how variable it is. Hmm. You're going along and then there's a writer's strike and now the supply really changes. Or The Fall Guy, which should have done great because it's got Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. You've got your Barbie and your Heimer. Mm-hmm. and yet that movie did not do well. So, and we're affected by that. So organizations like ours need to be strong enough to ride some waves that are just going to keep coming in the industry.
Yeah. And you need to be really strategic in terms of what programming you're putting in your spaces. I mean, there were 504 new releases in the US and Canada last year. I mean, that's not a ton of movies, but you got to pick, you do your best to pick and choose the ones that are going to drive additional revenue and bring in new customers. What about the promotions and maybe the popcorn? Like, does that drive people in beyond what's on the screen?
We discounts bring people in. I did want to say with respect to programming, I want to specifically say with respect to programming, it is part of our core mission to bring really broad programming. So even if XYZ film would fill the theater, we need to be sure that we're bringing the full variety of arthouse cinema because that's who we are and what
Stand
we do. So that just that uniqueness that you're not going to see The Seventh Samurai anywhere else this weekend or for a long time on the big screen, that brings people in. Nutritional yeast on the popcorn seems to have a big impact.
I'm a big fan of the brewer's yeast. Yeah, like it just seems to be something you can only get at the Oriental and Downer, which, you know, other people are adding different, you know, toppings to popcorn, but it makes a difference.
People ask about it. We actually have a t-shirt that you can buy online, mkefilm.org, and it says, "I'm just here for the nutritional yeast," and people have bought that t-shirt.
All right. I love it. So what can we look forward to for the film festival in 2025? What are you working on? What insights can you give us?
There is, for something as amazing as it is, this year was my first film festival, and I was blown away. And just inspired by what it can continue to become. What if it were much more of a travel destination that people were traveling across the country to see? What if it were even more of a city institution that people look forward to? People kept saying we had so many films that they were overwhelmed by the choices and would get mixed up. How easy can we make it to curate your own experience so that you've got your own schedule? Just improving the festival experience is really an exciting idea to us.
Always fine-tuning. That's what every organization should be. Ann Reed, the executive director of Milwaukee Film, appreciate your time and enjoy the rest of the week. And we look forward to the documentary festival in September and then obviously the next film festival in 2025.